hold the line for the conference host to join the conference, or a customer services representative.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Premier Foods IMS conference call. My name is Louise. I'll be the coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you'll be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Robert Schofield to begin.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us this morning to discuss our interim management statement. I'm Robert Schofield, Chief Executive, and I'm joined by Jim Smart, our Chief Financial Officer. In a few minutes, we'll be happy to take questions, but first, a few words about how trading has been developing. We are pleased that across our brands, we have delivered 2% volume growth and continue to take market share in what remains a challenging market, with promotional activity remaining at a similar level to that seen at the end of last year. We are particularly pleased by the performance of our drive brands, which in line with our strategy have continued to grow strongly, with volumes up 6.6% and value up 3.4%. As I said, total branded volumes are up over 2%, with branded sales value broadly in line with last year. This total branded growth was held back by the wintry weather, as a number of our defend brands, in particular the ones used by our food service business, didn't fare so well as schools and businesses were shut down by snow. In fact, the food service sales were down 50% in January. The decline in non-branded sales of 12.9% by value and 8.8% by volume was due to the trend seen in the second half of 2009, which we described in our prelim results in February. Firstly, in our categories, retailer brands have continued to lose share as consumers have been switching to branded products. Secondly, we exited a number of contracts in 2009. And thirdly, we saw a significant level of deflation in flour prices in the second half of 2009. We expect non-branded sales will improve during the year as we have recently won a number of retailer brand contracts in the grocery division and as we lap the contract exit and deflation of 2009. Looking at each division in turn, grocery drive brands grew sales by 5% with strong performances from Hartley's and Sharwood's. Grocery's core and defend brands declined by 1.1% and 5% respectively, with Oxo and Bisto brands recording lower sales as a result of reduced promotional activity compared to the prior year and the impact of the snow as I mentioned earlier. Looking forward, we are excited by our Great Little Ideas TV campaign, which kicked off a couple of weeks ago. It's a significant campaign for us that airs during ITV's Britain's Got Talent show across a range of brands and is aimed at encouraging people to use and cook with our products in new ways. And you can vote for your favourite recipes on our website, with butterscotch bananas the clear favourite at the moment. The Hovis brand continues its progress with year-on-year sales value growth of 4.7% and volume growth of 8.5%. supported by conversion of the entire Hovis range to 100% British wheat. As anticipated, we have recently seen an increase in competitor and promotional activity. This is a competitive market, but we continue to believe that with Hovis we have the best brand to win. We are defending the share gain since the relaunch very well, and we believe our new product development, like the recently launched Hovis Hearty Oats Loaf, combined with our marketing and promotional initiatives, will generate further growth in half two. Chilled branded sales were 4.7% lower in the first quarter. As we explained in prelims, we have reduced promotional activity as it wasn't delivering the desired returns. The restructuring of the corn supply chain continues, and the anticipated cost savings are being delivered to plan. We continue to expect corn's performance to improve in the second half as we complete the restructuring and implement revised marketing strategies. The sales decline of 9.8% recorded by Brooks Urbana business reflects a tough competitive environment. Again, we expect improvement through the year as it has recently won some new contracts. I've spoken a lot about sales, but the other two key strands of our strategy are to reduce cost and to pay down our debt. We are making good progress on the cost reduction targets of delivering procurement savings and improving manufacturing efficiency. And we expect net debt at the end of the first half of this year will be 100 million lower than at the end of the first half of 2009. So in summary, we expect that our branded growth will continue and we will see an improvement in non-branded performance. This combined with the operating efficiencies we are delivering and 100 million of debt reduction will enable us to show further progress in 2010. And with that, I'll hand back to the operator for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press 7 again. You'll be advised when to ask your question. We have a question coming through from the line of Jeff Stent from Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a quick question regarding the Cadbury Cakes contract. I was just wondering if you would be able to update us as to what discussions, if any, you've had with Cadbury's new owners. Thanks.
Hi, Jeff. We haven't had any discussions with the new owners. They're still settling down, but we anticipate in the next few weeks we will be talking to them.
Okay, and you would be anticipating a positive conclusion to that, Robert?
Yes, we would.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question today comes from the line of Polly Barclay from JP Morgan Cazeno. Please go ahead.
Morning. Can you also comment on your expectations for raw materials this year, please?
Raw materials for this year, we will still see inflation. It's not helped by currency, as you know. We buy 20% of our materials outside of sterling. And we can see that by the end of the year, there might be a little pickup in cost inflation. Still, we're looking at it carefully, but that would be our prognosis at the moment.
So year-on-year change, what are you modelling?
I think we're still down in very low, in low single digits, but it might pick up a bit towards the end of the year. That's the way we see it.
I think, Polly, it's Jim. The way to think about it, I think when we were speaking last, we were saying there's some categories going up, some going sideways, some going down, and we didn't see any discernible trend. I think you'll be aware of developments in steel and paper. Now going up, so we're probably looking at, on balance, there's a bit going up now rather than down, but it changes relatively quickly.
Thanks. Thank you. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad. We now have a question coming through from the line of Charles Finn from FinCap. Please go ahead.
Good morning. It's Charles Picker, FinCap, actually. Two questions, please. On the debt situation, at the time of the prelims, you flagged up £100 million cash generation per annum was the objective, and you're now talking about being down £100 million just in the first half. Is there a better scenario in respect of debt than has previously been indicated? And secondly, is it possible to quantify the scale of the new contract wins that you mentioned, particularly with Brooks Varner? Thanks.
Charles, it's Jim. I'll do debt, and then maybe Robert will tell you a bit about contracts. What we're flagging up is that we're making reasonable progress against our objective. Our objective, as you know, was to have £100 million of cash generation from recurring business in the year, and we think we're in line with that. The evidence of that half year, if you look at it on a 12-month basis against half year 09, we're expecting to see £100 million. Less net debt. Therefore, there's still some work to do between now and the end of the year to get £100 million year on year as at December. But I think we're saying this is reasonable progress in that regard, and our objective's not changed.
In regard to the second part of your question about contracts, yes, we have won contracts. We've won them mainly in grocery, where we've won a number of contracts, and we will see those unfold in the second quarter and particularly in the second half. And we think that that will certainly represent a progress on where we are at this moment in time, particularly as we lap some of the contracts we lost last year. What I give you some colour about that is we lost the contracts or we resigned them because we couldn't make the margin. We've always said our strategy with own label contracts is to have an absolute discipline around the margin we expect to get for them, and we do not run our own label business just to get volume pumping through the system. So we were very disciplined about that. We've managed to win contracts this year. They're not the same ones that we lost in all cases. And the way we've managed to do that is, if you look at what's happening, we are making our business now considerably more efficient. We talk about it all the time. That is taking our cost base down. That is making us more competitive. And in many cases, we can make very competitive quotes while still maintaining our margin on that basis. And that's why we've been picking the contracts up in grocery. We've also picked a significant contract up in the Brooks Urbana business, which will unfold in the second half. So own label across the piece, which we've always said myself and Jim can go up and down in a kind of lumpy sort of way, we're looking for the remainder of this year to see progress in own label.
Right, thank you very much indeed. Is it possible to put some flavour on those contract wins, a sort of annualised value?
I wouldn't want to do that at this stage, but we may talk in those terms at the half year.
Right, and just wonder if I can actually, the marketing costs, is there a pointer please for the second half? Will there be a similar £6 million increase?
I think, Charles, the way to think about it is two ways. The general direction, as we said in our strategy, is we wanted to see a little bit more spent in consumer marketing. Our objective is to pay for that, as you know, by cost savings. But period by period, clearly there is discretion for us, and we'll take a view on how the general trading is going and therefore how far and how fast to go to with marketing. But the general expectation is that we'll be spending more this year than last year, and that's certainly the case in the first half. Because we're rock solid on our guidance for year end, we felt it right to have the marketing push in the first half, and that's what we've done.
Right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Julian Hardwick from RBS. Please go ahead.
Morning. I wonder if you could just help us understand how significant the impact of the weather was for the food service business in the first half, and you've also highlighted retail flour sales as being a factor, and it would be just helpful if you could put some scale around those. And secondly, if you could just give us a feel for progress on the cost reduction front.
Let me just. I'm not going to be too specific at this trading statement, Julian, on exactly what values are. But let me just give you what I mentioned earlier. We're 50% down in our food service business in January. Basically, what happened was the snow was on the ground across the land. Schools weren't there. Neither were lots of businesses, and no one went out to restaurants. So it was a one-off hit. It's recovered since then, but it was 50% down in our branded business in that area, and we've got a 100 million plus food service business. So it's it was a significant event for us, but it was an event.
On the cost reduction, Julian, I think we'll have more detail when we get to half year. But overall, we're reasonably pleased with our progress. It's in line with our plans.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And a final reminder for today, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad. We have a question coming through from the line of Alan Erskine from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Yes, I wonder, could you give some color on the competitive response you've seen in the bread area, what form that has taken, and just to contextualize it, can you tell us what the value growth of the bread market in the UK was in the first quarter, and what your outlook then is for the balance of the year if you're expecting an even more promotional driven market because of the competitive response. Thank you.
Okay. We flagged up at the prelims that we thought that this market was going to be a pretty competitive one. I mean, we had taken, since our relaunch 15 months previous, we've taken 3.5% share points, which is quite a lot. And we figured that our competitors would have a go back at us, for want of a better word. And that's happened. We had and we've had sight of it. It's come in two ways. And there's been even a more ferocious promotional environment, which we anticipated. There's been a number of attempts to change and to discuss with retailers how much their ranging is going to be. We've been involved in that, as the other competitors. But what I would say to you is that we anticipated it being a pretty competitive period. I think we should use the word fierce. It has been fierce. And you'll see a few blips in our share, but it will go forward during the course of the year as our marketing strategy comes into play. And what we said back at the prelims still holds. We think we may lose a little bit of share of the 3.5 that we gained. We might get it back to zero, don't know. But we certainly have very strong plans in place, and we're very confident that our brand will do well this year.
But I'm more interested in terms of what you think will happen to the value of the category. I mean, it looks like it was flat in the first quarter. If you're going to see more competition, because I guess this response happened late in the quarter. I mean, would we expect in the balance of the year that the value of the net value of the category to go down?
Alan, I think the data we're looking at is IRI data, and that has value down 2.2% in the first 12 weeks. I think we're up in market share in that period on the IRI against the IRI. Data. I think the way we're thinking about it is it's a pretty tough market out there. That's not different than our expectations. We think that Q2 might be a bit of a low point for us, but we think during the second half that we'll pull the numbers back again. What happens overall in the market is a bit difficult for us to tell. We're preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
The other thing that I just bear in mind, Alan, on that one is that quite frankly, if you take away the recession where bread grew for a little while, overall bread is in slow decline. And the area where you is in premiumization is where the value comes back into the market. And we're doing stuff in that area because we've got a very good brand to do it with. Because in the areas of added value, which is with inclusions, with the whole meal and the loaf that we've currently brought out, which is in the health sector, we hit a lot of cues for the consumer. So overall, I think white bread, you can just put down to the fact, is going to lose volume over time. It has done for many years, and it will continue to do so. Where you get the added value, of course, is in two ways. One is that you premiumize, and we're doing that. And number two is you take more share, and we've been doing that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Clive Black from Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I noticed on the news wires that you're quoted as saying you're open-minded on any disposal activity as a headline. Could you give us maybe some colours to your strategy, therefore, and position on acquisition and disposal, please?
Yes, I'm going to ask Jim to answer that.
Clive, hi. I think our position now, as quoted by the newswires, is exactly the same position as we set out at year end. We are open-minded on disposals. The strategy on it, Clive, is really comes down to proceeds. If there is a way of reducing our debt and indeed making a contribution to our pension fund, then we would look at that seriously. But it comes down to proceeds. If I sell a bit of the business and lose some earnings and I don't bring down proportionately the same amount of debt and pensions, then by definition the business that's left is more stretched than the business I have at the moment, and that wouldn't be in anybody's interest. So therefore, I have to get enough money for my business that compensates me not just for the earnings I'm going to have now, but my future earnings that I'm looking at, and in the right proportion to pay down a big chunk of debt and pensions. And that's where we start.
Okay. And just
to add to that, the other thing I'd add to that, Clive, is there are certain assets in our portfolio which are critical to our strategy, and clearly we wouldn't be looking to sell those.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Just as a follow-up, recognising that there's only so much you can say, but would you say that the probability of disposal activity in the second half of the year, for example, is rising or falling compared to where we would have been, say, the second half of last year?
We can see nothing on the horizon.
Okay, thank you for that, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Paolo Moratti from Siorima. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Just a quick question on the Great Little Ideas campaign. It's 10 days since it's gone live. I know it's a very short period of time, but if you could just give some qualitative comments on the amount of interest it generated, either on consumers or on your retail counterparts. Thank you.
As you say, we can't get any feedback on the consumer element of it, but what we can do, and I don't have the numbers to hand, we've got websites for a lot of interaction with our consumers on this. What I can do is to get to you the hits we've been getting on there, and we've been getting a lot of hits. So it's generating the interest and the activity in that sense that we wanted. We've also had a number of consumers coming in with their own great little ideas, and two of them are fantastic. So we've got a lot of interaction going with our consumers. We'll probably get some data across how many hits we've had. It's quite phenomenal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question today comes from the line of Rosie Edwards from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hello, yes, it's Rosie from Goldman Sachs. I just wanted to check, when you're sort of confirming the full year outlook, does that mean that you still think the volume targets that were outlined at the preliminary results are still achievable, so the total 1-3% overall volume growth?
Rosie, it's Jim. Let's remind ourselves two things. On the volumes, what we said was we would generally tend to follow the market across non-branded, core and defend, and that we would be ahead of the market in drive. That general shape would apply, but clearly the market rates in any one year will be different. So for example, the non-branded market is going back at a rate of knots, and we can't we wouldn't beat the market necessarily, but at least not the expectation. So those volume targets are sort of medium term for planning purposes. Specifically for this year, we're reiterating word for word the guidance for this year, which was absent some major event in the consumer world, we would expect to make progress in the business this year, and that's what we are reiterating today. Nothing so far has changed our view on that, but as we said, the consumer environment remains pretty difficult, and the promotional activity level hasn't come down at all.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Warren Ackerman from Evolution. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Question on chilled. I mean, we're used to seeing the Quorn brand growing high single digit, low double digits. It's now down, I think, in the quarter. And I appreciate there's a tough comp there, but are you struggling more than you had expected to turn Quorn from a vegetarian brand to a lifestyle brand? And I'm just wondering what gives you confidence that there will be a pickup in the second half of the year? And just secondly, can you confirm that all the restructuring of the supply chain, I think you say £1 million of costs, will that all be done in the first half, or will there be some ongoing costs in the second half?
I'll ask Jim to do the cost question, and I'll come back to that marketing question if I can, Warren.
Thank you. Warren, thanks for the question. Just to clarify on the numbers, we do indeed have Quorn going backwards in the first quarter, but you'll remember what we said at year end was that it was getting increasingly difficult to support growth given that it's a premium product because we were putting in a lot of promotions, and we did say that we were pulling back on promotions. This is effectively a full quarter's worth of that effect coming through. So it has more effect on sales than it does on gross profit, and it's broadly in line with the expectations that we had at the time. The second half, you remember we said we think is going to be better because we're looking at reformulating some of the products. We're looking at editing the range a bit. We're certainly looking at the customer communications, but Robert will cover that in a bit, and that's what we're looking at that says this. We think it starts to improve in the second half. On the supply chain, I can't necessarily say the million is the whole bill, but it's the majority of the bill. We want to get on with this, and that's why we pushed on with both this and within grocery, the Ireland change, because we want to get on with it. It's the right thing to do economically for the business.
So if you go back to the marketing question, it's a good marketing question, Warren, because basically we've got two markets out there. We've got one which is growing steadily, which is the kind of vegetarian market, and we will grow with that. The prize, if we could call it that, is really the prize that you referred to, which is how much can we make it a healthy lifestyle brand by appealing to meat reducers as opposed to vegetarians. That's what we're working on. That's what we're putting all our marketing effort in this year. And by the time we get to the second half, we should have plans that try and do both, attack both of those markets. But we will see, as far as we can see at this moment, that we will grow in the second half with our Quorn brand.
Okay, Robert, thanks for that. Can I just ask one quick follow-up just on trading in your Irish business? Obviously, things have been quite difficult the last time you updated us. Is there any kind of change? Could you give us some understanding of how Ireland did in the quarter?
What we would say about Ireland is that it is a market that's experiencing great pain, but we've set our stall out within Ireland that we will maintain our share, and we've been gaining share in Ireland. So. Do I think the market's out of the doldrums? No, I don't. But do I think that we're trading very robustly over there? Yes, I do. And so on balance, we're pretty much with Ireland where we expect it to be.
But what would be the sort of sales growth you've seen in the quarter? I guess it would have been down.
Going backwards slowly. It went down at a rate of knots, as you know, middle of last
year.
And then it's been going down sort of single digit
okay.
since then, and we've seen the same in quarter one.
Okay, Jim, thanks.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Jeff Stent from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Just a quick one on this food service trend. I mean, you've correctly identified that the industry as a whole was very weak in January. I guess the flip of that is that a lot of people were staying at home. They were sort of raiding supermarket shelves. There was a story in the press about that. And I guess your sort of core grocery business would very much, you know, or should have benefited somewhat from that trend. Is that fair, or am I missing something? It just seems to me the logical flip of the weakness in food service.
What I would say on that one, first and foremost, we're not looking at a trend, Jeff. We're looking at an event that lasted 2 weeks.
Yes.
All I would say is this is a bit, you are right, normally cold weather is good for us, but cold weather with snow is not good for us. And that was the difference between year on year. We like cold weather, I have to be honest with you, you're right on that. But when you get the vagaries of whether they get out to the supermarkets, can get there, can't get there, can get to restaurants or can't get to restaurants, and schools are closed, what you have is a kind of up and down situation. So you're right in the sense that Premier Foods benefits from cold weather, but it doesn't benefit from dislocation that comes from snow. So what you've got is a 13-week period, which had 3 or 4 weeks of pretty up and down type of trading, we would call it. So it's a short period. I would say we've had standard trading for less than 8 of that 13 weeks.
Okay, thank you.